1-41-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night for the Scottish Premiership. Leaders Celtic are 5 from 5. They go to St Johnston, who've shown impressive signs on their return to the top flight. Rangers are on the up in recent games. They welcome St Mirren, who are also going well. And as if that's not enough, the Glasgow sides meet each other at the weekend. So nights like tonight really test the one game at a time theory and how it never really counts here in Glasgow. Alex Ray and Tony Watt, Partick Thistle duo, both well?
Yeah, really well. Off the back of a good result of the weekend, and excited to see how these games pan out tonight. I think both teams, obviously Rangers had a weird start and Celtic have done okay, other than the European one, but both teams are back on track and it's all hands to the pump and try and win as many games as possible starting tonight.
Yeah, Celtic can continue their fine form, Gordon, in the league, and continue with that. And Rangers have an opportunity to leapfrog St Mirren tonight. I think both games will be really interesting because I think you have to give the Saints plenty of credit the way they've went about their business so far.
01419511025, that's the number you need, so come on down. Particularly on a night when there's big games, we love it, because you'll be in the car, on the bus, train, whatever, heading to the game. Why not give us a call? Let us know what you're thinking. I think particularly the game at Ibrox, obviously, because a concentrated area for us here in Glasgow in the West, all of you heading there, whether it is of a Rangers or St Mirren persuasion. If you're heading along, we would love to hear from you, Rangers fans. I'd imagine you're starting to build up a little bit of confidence, bit of expectation now that you've got some good wins. You beat Motherwell there at the weekend. You've already beaten St Mirren comfortably in the cup, so what are you expecting tonight? And the big question in terms of team lineup: who leads the line? Is it Ryan Nadiri or is it Kevin Kelsey? One came on at the weekend and scored, the other cost £9 million. And as we alluded to at the top of the show, you play Celtic at the weekend, so if it is to be Kevin Kelsey who eventually comes in and leads the line in these big games at the weekend, do you start him tonight and get the integration process well underway? So let us know who leads the line for Rangers tonight. Anything else you want to see in the team? And St Mirren fans, how are you feeling? You feeling a bit, perhaps, that 5-1 defeat in the cup was a bit of a false representation of how good you've been? You've been excellent. You were also good against Celtic, albeit lost at the weekend. So you feeling a bit more confident perhaps tonight? What are you thinking going along there? Can you cause a shock? It's quite an unforgiving schedule, playing the big two back to back, but quite a few teams have had to do it this season, and I wonder if you can get something from Ibrox tonight. So if you're heading along there, please do let us know. Celtic fans, I'd imagine in a Premiership context, you're pretty happy with everything you're seeing. So what do you want to see from the team tonight? Does Casper Hu come back in? Does Camilo Duran go back out to the left-hand side? Is that a bit of a double-edged sword because you're losing all the good things he's done through the middle, but Yang's no longer there? All of a sudden, he's become quite a miss for you given his recent form, so how do you replace that? And so on. All the big questions that we tend to ask on the night of a big game, let's try and answer them together. The new backroom staff for the Scotland national team has been announced as well. That's maybe something we can touch on later on. And I think every single week that Tony Watt and Alex Ray are on, a Partick Thistle fan somewhere phones up to put them on the spot about something. A good win at the weekend though, happy with that?
Yeah, it wasn't scintillating. I think it was a controlled performance for the boys, and it was so important to get the 3 points because you have to say Big Marv Stenny are absolutely flying, so it's important that we kind of close that gap so soon.
I know Gordon DL's an absolute he's in turmoil. How many manager of the months has Mark Wilson had since he took over? Be a good few.
5 or 6 now, probably.
And now Marvin Bartley's getting in on the act as well. Or he's you're torturing the poor guy. But they're going really well, aren't they?
Oh no, brilliant. I actually watched them play the other night as well against Livingston. I thought they were excellent, and they're very patient, very well organised, work their backsides off, and so you have to give them plenty of credit.
And never a dull day in the Championship, because you've had the first managerial casualty of the season anywhere in Scotland, and Davey Martindale's back in the Livy dugout.
No, you're kidding, aren't you? No, listen, I think it's really harsh, five games into a season, and I think you need time to implement it. There was a big turnover of players in there as well, so but listen, the decision's made and Davey's back in the dugout.
Right, get your calls in ahead of the games tonight, please. Both of them, 01419511025. Let's just do it chronologically because it kicks off first. Ibrox is first, isn't it?
Yes.
Man, I'm terrible with kickoff times. Let's go there. Let's head to Ibrox and get a flavour of the build up to Rangers against St Mirren.
Yes, Gordon, good evening from sunny Govan. The weather reflecting the turnaround in mood at this place. Rangers with the chance to move second tonight after all the doom and gloom that August brought. Three wins in a row and a few big signings as things looking more positive for Derek McInnes' side in September. With, of course, that huge doubleheader against Celtic just days away now. McInnes, when speaking yesterday, said the upturn in form makes no difference as the pressure is still on and won't relent until silverware is won. But as you said at the top there, the big question is, with those two games in mind against Celtic, does £9 million signing Kevin Kelsey start? We know Yusuf Chimiti and Lawrence Shankland are both out for the long term, leaving just Ryan Nadiri and Bojan Miovski alongside Kelsey. And Kelsey made a decent enough cameo off the bench at the weekend, but it'll be really interesting to see if he comes in, if McInnes wants him up to full speed for the game on Sunday. And does new winger Badreddin Buanani, signed on deadline day, get his first taste of action as well? Comes a big pedigree, surely McInnes will also want him involved as soon as possible. Team news is in about 5 or 6 minutes, but let's not forget about the visitors. They've been one of the stories of the season so far. St Mirren players just on the pitch now with manager Craig McLeish, who's earned plaudits for his new style of play. He was named Premiership Manager of the Month for August. They're up in third. They gave a really good showing of themselves on Saturday night, just narrowly losing to the champions Celtic. You'd expect them to stick to their style of football tonight, Gordon, but they'll be hoping for a better than a 5-1 drubbing they received here last month in the League Cup. Kickoff is at 7:45.
Let's go to Perth, St Johnstone against Celtic. If Gabriel is at Ibrox, that means Andrew McLean is there.
Yeah, I am indeed, and Martin O'Neill is here for the first time, quite incredibly, in 25 years. His first visit to McDermott Park since 2001, the last time he brought a Celtic team to Perth to take on St Johnstone. It was a team that had Lennon, Petrov, Sutton, Larson and Hartson in it. It was Henrik Larson that got a last-minute winner on that day, and substituted on in the second half was 18-year-old Sean Maloney, who, of course, will be behind Martin O'Neill in the dugout today. A lot of focus on their attacking options today. No Yang, as he's away to the Asian Games. Kasper Hu is back in training, so does he come straight back in, as you mentioned, Gordon, or does the impressive Camilo Duran continue through the middle, although he wasn't too bad, was he, out on the left either? And interesting to see what happens at left back as well. Kieran Tierney was back in training this week, but only once, so he's maybe less likely to start than Kasper Hu is. There are suggestions Liam Scales could be out injured as well. Landon Emanalo hasn't actually arrived in Scotland yet, despite confirming his loan deal from Chelsea a couple of weeks ago, so it could be a makeshift left-back for Celtic tonight, something certainly to look ahead to the weekend as well. 100% record in the league Celtic are trying to protect, but they're up against a St Johnstone side who have done well so far since their promotion. That comeback win against Hibs at the weekend has put them onto 7 points. They're in 7th place, and 2 more goals from Josh Fowler, who's got 4 Premiership goals to his name in 4 appearances. What a journey he's had, from Beath Juniors to Dubai to Australia and back to Scotland here in Perth, where he's scoring plenty of goals. As you said, it's an 8 o'clock kickoff here, so team news expected at around 6:45.
Get the calls in, 01419511025. I like to trip down memory lane from Andrew McLean, reminding us how long it's been since Martin O'Neill was there, the type of players he had. Could you name one player that would have been in the St Johnstone team then, that day? I've started the quizzing early, usually save it to the second hour for you. Never mind. Silence is not good. No. Paul Hartley was playing.
Derek McInnes, no.
And Peter Lovenkrant's brother.
The dog.
Sorry?
Remember the Twitter thing that went viral?
All right. Yeah, there we go. So that has been a long old time. Martin O'Neill heading back there. It reminded me last night of Gordon Dalziel when he turned to Killian Sheridan, 37-year-old Killian Sheridan, and said, "Did you ever play at the old Muirton Park?"
Oh, yeah.
Left there in 1989. Anyway, looking forward to both those games. Let's go to the phone lines on that usual number, 01419511025. Let's bring in Andy, who's first up. Andy, with your Celtic hat on, what are you thinking tonight?
I just wanted to pose a question to you guys. How you doing, guys?
Good, Andy.
Hey,
how you doing?
Tony and Alex and Gordon. Who leads the line for Celtic tonight? And in my personal opinion, I think Camilo Duran should lead the line for Celtic tonight with the goals he's scoring. And I really want Celtic to rest Kasper Ho for the weekend against Rangers, because I believe he's better up front.
I thought that was a statement rather than a question. And he said, who leads the line? As in Casper. Right, he's asking who, which one of them. It's going to be an interesting one, Tony, when we see the teams come out. What do you think?
I think it's going to be Gerran. I think very similar to the Rangers situation with Kelsey. I think if it's not broke, don't fix it. And you can give people minutes at the end of the game. So Celtic and Rangers are expected to be ahead in the 55th, 60th minute. Kelsey, bring him on, get him some minutes. Same way Holt in preparation for the weekend. I don't think you should throw any of them back in from the start because, one, there's a chance of injury. And two, you don't really want to upset the rhythm of people. Nadiri scored at the weekend and Gerran has been on absolute fire. So I think it'll be Gerran for Celtic and I think it'll be Nadiri for Rangers tonight.
I think we've been robbed of a proper debate on this though, Alex, by the fact that Yang has gone on international duty, because you really wonder what Celtic would do if you had the in-form Yang available, Camilo Gerran firing, and then Casper Hughes put back into that. That feels like a much harder decision. Ah. Whereas now, if you've got an issue on the left already, then it surely becomes a bit easier in the fullness of time to move Camilo Gerran back there and play Casper Hughes. But will that happen tonight?
Listen, it's interesting what Tony said there. I think it'll depend on where he's at and his physical kind of capacity, whether he can start the game, Gordon, because you might say to him, listen, give me an hour, that'll give me the freshness to but lead into the weekend. Some players prefer to play game time as opposed to sitting watching it, and it might give a better opportunity for him to play through the middle, because with the boy Gerran on one side and then you've got probably Tanecki maybe coming off the left, then you've got so much firepower and pace at the top end of the pitch. So I don't think it would be a big risk at all to play him if he was in top shape.
Is every player different? Is there any part of Camilo Gerran that knows would be out of joint if and when he gets moved to accommodate?
I think he looked very natural on the wing. I know people were saying he's better positioned through the middle. I think he looks like a proper winger. I think I like the look of him on the wing better, but then his numbers through the middle have been amazing. The big problem for me is going to be who goes out to the left-hand side, because the boy Hassan looks like he likes to operate from the right. Gerran will probably operate from the right, and then you're looking who's on the left, because I like the look of Hassan in terms of, I know Casper Hole will be sitting at home thinking every time he gets the ball, he shifts it on his left, he crosses it to the back post
yeah.
And Big Hole is good there. He showed he can score goals there, and I think he'll be licking his lips at the opportunity to play alongside him, and I think that'll work for him, and I think he'll be desperate to get on the end of them.
You see any problems from St Johnstone tonight, Andy? They've been pretty good returning, certainly at home. Well, they've scored a lot of goals.
St Johnstone's always been a bit of a boggy team for Celtic, in my opinion. I mean, they've beat us before at McDermott Park, before they went down to the Championship, and look at what they did in the Championship, come straight back up. Listening to the boys there talking about crosses into the box, I think Hassan has got a magnificent cross into the box, and again, like I think it was Alex that said it, Casper Hall be licking his lips at the crosses.
I was looking at those head to, when Andy was mentioning, I was looking at the head to heads the last, because it's not actually relevant really. St Johnstone's kind of different team, definitely a different Celtic team, different manager, but what a mad set of head to heads the last time St Johnstone were in the league, because St Johnstone did beat Celtic in Perth, but the other three games finished 6-0, 4-0 and 5-0 to Celtic. So they picked their moment the last time there was a league game in Perth. Foresee any difficulties for Celtic tonight?
Well, listen to Andrew up there talking about Josh Fowler. What a great start to the season. I think, you know, even when you go back to last season, he wasn't a starter. You know, put Payton and guys like that were up there in front of him. So he's obviously come back in the summer, impressed the manager. But to get four goals so soon in the campaign, he'll be getting out with plenty of confidence. He's got lots of legs getting behind. He'll take a shot from anywhere. So he will most certainly be the biggest threat to Celtic tonight.
How can you not love that story, Tony? Playing for Beath Juniors three years ago, is that right?
Yeah.
Certainly a couple of years ago anyway. And now
he's a shy lad as well, isn't he?
He's having himself a lot, but that's a good thing. And
I don't mind it either.
His manager came out and said he's a street footballer in the last few days, and I think that sums up perfectly. I think the game we played against him at Queen's Park, we beat them 5-0, was it?
Yeah.
And he was one of the best players in the park. I thought he was brilliant with carrying the ball. I thought he created things, and he could just create something out of nothing, even though his team were against the ball. And no, I think he's done brilliant. I think a big part is the play essential socks he's got on, but I don't want to mention that. He's been wearing them every game.
17 minutes
and he's top goal scorer in SPFL Is there any coincidence, Al?
Other sock providers are available, etc. Thank you to Andy. What about Michael on the line? Michael, it's a big game at the weekend, but you've got to get through this big one first. So what are you thinking tonight? Oh, we'll get to Michael in just a second. I can sense he is there. Michael, can you hear us now?
Yes.
What are you thinking tonight?
I think Chelsea will win 2-0. St. Joyce has been playing well, so you've got to give him a bit of credit. Thanks for putting us through, by the way. Good evening, panel.
Hi, mate.
How you doing?
I'd probably play Hassan on the wing, Tinecki out on the left, and sing me through the middle, Duran. Ideally, I would play Tinecki, Duran out in the wing, and Big Castor in the middle, but it's the Duran syndrome, but I'd play him through the middle because of the form. Hassan out in the wing, and Tinecki, because I'd rather play him tonight as against Rangers, which should be a tougher game, I think, you know what I mean?
See, I like this. I like this from Michael, because everybody bangs on about one game at a time, and it's nonsense. Everybody knows it's nonsense. This fixture at the weekend, that's all...
Everything's geared to that.
Yeah, because people are talking about how do you manage players and get them. Nobody's saying you rest everybody tonight. You kind of totally take your eye off the ball, foot off the gas, whatever cliche you want, and only care about the weekend. But there will be a lot of that. See, as soon as one of the star player on either team goes down tonight, immediately people think ahead. That's natural, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I always go back to the player side of things, though, because whenever we had a midweek game, I was always adamant that I wanted to play. And at no point did the manager ever come to me and say, listen, I want to rest you because we've got a big game at the weekend. I think if you get your business done, and the way that Celtic can put teams to bed, I think after maybe half an hour of like power play, you get two or three up, and then you start coasting, keep the ball. So obviously the more big players you've got on the park, the better chance you've got of doing that.
The problem as well for the players, if they don't play, somebody comes in, scores a hat-trick or a couple to take your place. And I think it's an interesting one for Celtic because of the numbers they've got now. Yang coming off, obviously going to the games, really does help the other players around them getting the team.
Anything else that's on your mind as a Celtic fan, Michael?
Hi, as you say, I'm just looking forward to the season. I think there should be some cracking games. Like say, the four at the top, I'd say, would be Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Motherwell. But then St. Mirren's been playing well, blah, blah, blah. I think this is I was glad to get last season finished. We're going to have VAR nonsense out the road, no, that's it. Hopefully this season we'll have it's more about the football we'll talk about, you know what I mean? Because I'm really, really looking forward to this year. But hopefully Celtic will just get that big midfielder in January. And I'd like to see him in there, but they wanted 13 million, we weren't paying it. But if he was there, I think that would really solidify the defence. We might have a problem through the middle against really good teams, you know. Callum's getting left his shell sometimes, and would you call him niggering if his plane's going to bomb into the box, as Gordon said the other night? So that's a bit like to see strengthened. But up front, firepower's great, you know what I mean?
Is Michael onto something, Tony? If there is a Celtic concern, and I know people will say they've won all their league games and all that, but Michael's seen enough Celtic teams over the years to know that, you know, nothing's perfect and there's still areas that need brushed upon, easy for me to say. Did the midfield balance, is it right for you?
I think when you look at the best game to show because of his problems is the last game away from home. Negrin played off, who was it? And I felt they were in a 4-4-2, and in Europe it's difficult for Cal McGregor and another to play against a midfield three because the quality's so good. You're a man less against top opposition. So I think it was more of a set-up thing rather than Cal McGregor or anybody getting ran over. I just felt they were overran the midfield, and it showed on the night. Celtic were tired, and Lask obviously put them to bed. And I think bringing in midfielders is always a good thing, but you don't want to end up with 30 players. You don't want to end up with too many, and I think they've signed a couple on deadline day. And I think at the moment that's enough. They'll get bedded in, obviously, depending on tonight. It'll probably show you what Martin O'Neill's going to do at the weekend in terms of midfield three, because...
I think it does, though, or is that where you realise what the kind of different challenge might be? You know, if you need to put somebody next to Callum McGregor, do you do that
I think the only
more
chance,
at the weekend than you would tonight? Or?
I think the only chance at Sorensen or... Forgive me, who the... I think Bauer...
Oxlade-Chamberlain?
I think the only chance Sorensen's got a plane at the weekend is if he plays tonight. If not, it's either Bauer or Oxlade-Chamberlain. And I think at the moment the Ox has done enough for me to play the games I've seen him. He's done really well.
What's the Ox now, is it?
Yeah, well, first name terms.
I can't try and spit that out every time, can I? The Ox, that's what we know him as.
Okay.
He's like a superhero, isn't he? And I think for me at the moment, Celtic's first choice midfield three, and you've got to remember, he's a quality player who's got a top pedigree. Celtic's first choice for me would be, and I know there's time for Bauer, it would be McGregor, the Ox, and then Negan a wee bit further forward, yeah, because he's goals.
Okay, thank you very much to Michael and Tony. 01419511025. Alex Ray could come into his own. Who should lead the line for Rangers tonight? Should it be Kevin Kelsey or Ryan Adeiri? Let us know and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls until 8. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here, building up to two big games, one at 7:45, one at 8, so we'll get staggered team news as well. We won't be too far away from the Rangers team news. But before we do then, let's put Graham from Bells Hill on the spot. Lauren Shankland out for up to 4 months, Graham, so who leads the line tonight?
Good evening, Gordon, Alex, Tony, how are you
doing? Good, thanks.
Good, good. I was just on the way in to Ibrox on the car, and I heard you were talking about who starts up front, and Tony made a point about potentially Casper Ho not playing really for Celtic tonight to rest him for the weekend, and similarly for Kelsey not starting to make sure he's ready for the weekend. But I just wanted to pick up and say that I think that the two scenarios are quite different, given that Kelsey came in the last day of the transfer window. He's only really seen 20 minutes. I really think Derek McInnes would really benefit from actually seeing him from the start for 70 minutes tonight and seeing if he's going to be ready and he's going to be the man, rather than the situation with Casper Ho. He's obviously played several games in the league already, knows what it's like, you know, has played against other players within the league and at the stadiums and stuff. So I just wanted to kind of pick up on that with Tony and whether you thought maybe it would be actually a better idea to start Kelsey. I know you said you could risk injury, but you can't really not play a player in case he gets injured at any point. You've got to go with it. So I'm really excited about the big lad. I thought his movement looked great, even if he was only on for 20 minutes. And if you managed to see his cameo, Tony, what you thought of his movement up front?
I never saw it. I just seen the highlights. That was my only concern. See, the fact that he's came in so late, not had a lot of minutes. Scottish football's not easy to adapt.
But he's been playing, remember?
He's played 22 games.
I mean, here, sorry, Scottish football's a lot different for MLS. It's a little bit more physical. It's a bit more competitive. Obviously, they don't have a relegation, do they? So, I think if Celtic weren't the team they were playing at the weekend, I would start them tonight. But I think at the moment, Rangers still need a result. Nadiri scored. You can say the game's wrapped up at 50 minutes. They can go and put him on. I mean, that's no disrespect to
him. If you don't start him tonight, you probably don't start him at the weekend.
Absolutely,
then.
Yeah. No, listen, I think this is a slightly different proposition, because I think he's played 22 games for Portland, or the game at the weekend as well with Rangers. 22 games over the course of, what, going back to February, March time. So I think it's a different, as I said, because he is already up to speed in terms of where he is halfway through a season. And I think when you see them at the weekend as well, it looked rather, you know, he was mobile, kind of sharp, and that obviously missed a real big opportunity. But you want strikers in that kill zone. We often talk about that, Tony, Williams. We want players in that heart of the thing. So I don't think it would be a shock to see him playing tonight. However, I think that would be harsh on Nadiri, because obviously he's getting in, he's led the line. And he's got the goal. So, you know, I think either one that he goes with, Gordon, I think the shape that they're actually currently playing as well will suit either one.
And he might have a bit of a introduction to Scottish football, because the last game he played in America, he was up against Ryan Portis. So
all right, okay.
Get him set and ready to go. Graham, do you feel like Rangers are starting to move towards a sort of level of performance and result that you're happy with? Obviously, it was a difficult start to the season.
I don't think we're killers yet by any means, but I think Derek's settled on a system now. I think he's been trying a few things out. He obviously has got people starting to perform now. I thought Dan Neil played his best game at the weekend in a Rangers shirt. I think the introduction of Minson as well has made a big difference to the shape. Still on the Kelsey point, I think 60-70 minutes against Alec Gogic tonight's perfect preparation for an Old Firm game. I love Alec Gogic, I think he's amazing, and that kind of hard man attitude that I think would be a brilliant grounding for him before the weekend. But yeah, I think Derek's starting to get the wheels turning now. I don't think we're clinical, but certainly we look like we know what we're doing. People like Gassama playing out their skin just now, which we didn't see in the two previous managers. So he's obviously got something going with the guys, and it'll just be a bit of time of them gelling together.
What do you make of Ryan Nadiri then, Alex? Because I feel like, well, listen, we're splitting everything in this part of the footballing world. There's an opinion on everything one way or the other, but it does feel like that he is quite polarising in terms of those that think there's something there and think that it can definitely be polished, and others who point to him definitely being more about his industry than his technical ability.
Listen, I think the one thing you can say about the guy is he works his backside off. I think he gets about, he leads the line as well as he can. I don't think he's, you say, polished, he's technically great, not really, but what you're looking for is a guy up there to be robust, hold the ball up, chase everything down, and be the kind of first guy that actually sets the press off. Because I think behind him, I think Graham makes a good point about Gassama. I think he's actually kind of raised his game considerably. He showed a level of consistency over the last couple of games, and he has to do that a lot longer and over a lot longer sustained period. Minsu has been a real revelation for me. I think if you can get players that are on the half cock, getting after people, it's a terminology on the half turn.
I must have missed that coaching manual.
I like when you
don't that enough. Anyway, so you're on the half turn basically. So it's an old terminology for back today, Gordon. But listen, I think if he can get after people, I think that automatically gets the mirroring on the back foot. I'm looking forward to the tussle with Gogic. If the boy Kelsey does play, Gogic is brilliant. He's all action, and that epitomises what Scottish football is.
What about his handball against Motherwell? I couldn't believe it. It was one of those.
A moment of madness, really.
It was incredible.
I think he's just tried to be a Leaf teammate, hasn't he? And he's just.
What do you mean?
So it's such a bad ball, he's tried to
catch it.
He's tried to bail him out with his shoulder, and he's just went too far. And he's. But can I say something before you go back to Graham? His points are brilliant there about Kelsey starting, and he might have changed my mind. I think he should.
Is that because you know he's played 22 games now?
Yes, that's a lack of research for me, obviously. The only thing would be the Nadiri one. I think if you're Nadiri, he's waited a couple of games for a chance, scored, and he comes out, you would be so disappointed. Yeah. But this isn't a game for keeping people happy.
I was going to say, you also know £9 million signed and deadline day. Are you just laughing about him? Are you laughing about him being the one that wants to be kept happy all the time?
Every time he's happy, the door's getting booted down the Monday morning.
No, but that's my point. It's such a hard game, football, because you think you should always be playing. That's a problem. And
you listening, Mark Wilson? Next time he chaps your door, just say, Tony, this is not a game to be keeping people happy. And you'll say, you're right, gaffer.
No, I know. It starts as an argument, then it's me apologising for being so hard work.
Let's find out if Graham gets his wish or his prediction or whatever you want to call it, because Gabriel has both teams, I think.
Yes, Gordon, I do. A bit late for Rangers, just put it out now, but really interesting. Three changes to the side that beat Motherwell at 1-0 on Saturday. Kevin Kelsey and Badreddin Bounani are both in from the start, as is Ryan Nadiri. Of course, he came on the weekend for Shankland early doors. So it means that there's a change in formation, looks like a change in formation as well, to that 4-4-2 that we know Derek McInnes likes. So it will be Ivan Pandor in goal, a back four of Dujon Sterling, Emmanuel Fernandez, Olwethu Mekanya and James Penrice, Dan Neal and Nico Raskin in the middle of the park. It looks like it will be Bounani and Jedi Gassama out wide, with Kevin Kelsey and Ryan Nadiri through the middle. There's no place for Kim Min-soo, who's been so impressive since his big money signing from Spain. He is amongst the substitutes, though. So you've got Kelly, McCrory, Godfrey, Dragijevic, Devlin, Chukwuanyi, Curtis, Min-soo and Miovski. Really interesting stuff for the Ibrox side. Going on to the visitors, one change to the narrow defeat against Celtic on Saturday night. It's Louis Jackson in for Paul and Sio, who can't pay against his parent club. It's a big chance for Jackson, the boy who came from Manchester United in the summer. Team is as follows: so Jacob Chapman in goal, Calvin Ramsey, Alex Gogic, Henry Fieldson and Declan John as a back four, Louis Jackson, Ryan Carr, Fraser Taylor, Ismail Cabiat and Chris Mockery as the five across the middle, with Nicholas Agoriafietis up top. The substitutes: Mullen, Richardson, King, McAvoy, De Barros, Thomas, Farquhar, Young and Sule.
Pick your way through that then, because in clearly wanting to kill off the debate we've been having about who starts out of Kelsey and Nadiri, they both play. So are you surprised at that?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought Min-soo was kind of harsh on him. I've enjoyed watching him.
So is this him being saved for the weekend?
Oh, here we go, for saving. But see, the thing is, see the way the start the Rangers have had, Gordon, and see this kind of saving folk or trying to preserve people for the weekend, if they don't get the result tonight, then the feeling and the mood going into that game will be a lot less enthusiastic in the current mood. So I'll be interested to see how they go. So it obviously looks as if it's going to be like a 4-2-3-1. It'll probably be Kelsey, maybe just off of Nadiri. It's an interesting one. I'll be interested to see how Buonanni goes as well. So, but what you've got there is Dan Neal, obviously his best game of the season so far at the base of the midfield. And then obviously Raskin going and joining in. Your fullbacks will be kind of bombing in forward as well. So interesting take for Derek McInnes.
St Mirren fans, I'd like to get your thoughts as well as you head along to the game. Tony, we don't see it a lot. That's two sort of out and out wingers, two central midfielders, two strikers. So Alex says maybe within that you then do something, tweak something to give you a bit more cover, because if you don't, it can be quite a risk. But I guess Rangers, it's a home game against St Mirren, they'll look to be in the front foot.
Yeah, it looks like the two midfielders are sitters anyway, so they can sit back,
protect
when they're attacking you, and they'll probably end up being a four. It'll probably be a 4-2-4 in possession, and then out of possession maybe Nadiri or Kelsey will come back and sit on the deep line player from St Mirren and make it a 4-2-3-1. So McInnes likes to go direct, to play in the opposition half, and I don't mind it at all. I think obviously being a striker, you like to see as many attacking players on the pitch as possible, and I think he's kind of sticking to a settled kind of back 5-6-7, if you include Neil. I know he's rotated him a couple of times. Raskin will play every game, and then the back four stays similar. So I like it. I think it tells you a lot about the weekend. I think he's probably got one eye on it, saying Nadiri will come out and Kim will come in, whatever way that will turn out.
I think there's clearly a desire there to get Badreddin Buonanni up to speed quickly, though, Alex. Again, yep, whether that's with a view to the weekend, because it felt like some of the noises that were coming out is that he would take a bit longer. He's not played this season, so we're talking about Kevin Kelsey, played a lot in MLS. I had to check the date there in case anyone's wondering where I'm staring off to. 9th of September, he's not played at all. In fact, by the looks of his club appearances, hasn't played club football since April. Is that a surprise that he comes straight in?
Yeah, it is a little bit, Gordon, but I think that if you look behind that, that would suggest that they're trying to get this guy minutes sooner rather than later, and they see that tonight, whether he plays 60, 70 minutes, and then you freshen it up a little bit. But it's an opportunity to get the boy in sooner, try and get minutes, because you can't go into an Old Firm game having not played at all. So this would give them an indicator of where this guy's at, whether he's a starter for the weekend.
Rangers fans, we have covered off some of your thoughts. We spoke to Graham there a second ago, so keep them coming. What do you make of that team tonight? Is that what you would have picked? Anything that excites you or concerns you? Is there anything in that you think is with a view to the weekend? St Mirren fans would love to hear from you. Can you go there and do better than you did in the Cup? We continue the build up to the game in Perth as well, so give us all your thoughts right now whilst I run this past you.
Clyde One.
£500,000, it could have your name on it come Friday night. It is a guaranteed winner, it's tax free, it might as well be you. You obviously have to be in it to win it, as they say. So text YES to 61025, texts are £250 plus your standard network rate, over 18s only. Enter at makemeawinner.co.uk if you want, where you'll find the phone entry details and all the rules for this network competition. Lines close 5pm on Friday. The £500,000 would be paid into your bank account straight after the call. You don't even need to do anything, just answer the phone. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025.
Talking football, 6 until 8, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
1 hour away from kickoff at Ibrox, the visit of St Mirren. I'd really like to hear from you St Mirren fans as well, if you think you can go there and get a result tonight. It wasn't to be in the Cup, but wasn't to be at the weekend against Celtic, but you have had a lot of praise, you've put in some impressive performances. Can that translate to something on the scoreboard this evening? Do let us know. David's a Rangers fan though. David, what's on your mind?
Well, there, boys, how's it going?
Good, thanks. What are you thinking?
My point is McInnes and Shankland.
Okay.
McInnes came for Harps to Rangers. Shankland for Harps to Rangers. Now I'm going to put this in reverse. If he was at Rangers, he had a 3 month injury spell, just he sat on the bench for 4 games. Now would McInnes bring him that history just before the season finished? We knew that in history at Hearts. Why did you bring him back to Ibrox?
I don't think it's. I mean, David talks about injury history, but I mean, players get injured and then it might happen again. It doesn't. There was, because Lauren Shankland had a hamstring injury in the middle of last season, now has another one. That's not. That's like the ultimate hindsight to then say he shouldn't have been signed, surely.
The first point is McInnes never brought him to Rangers. It was actually Danny Rowe beforehand. Shankland, I've not got the stats off the top of my head, but I know Shankland's good for games. He's played a lot of games over the last four, five, maybe more years. He's a robust guy. He's not one that you would think it was going to run 15, 16K, so he can manage his body as well. And yeah, I don't think he's got injury problems. I think he's maybe just had the same injury twice, which is quite a bit of a freak injury, but I just think that he's always available for games up until obviously last season with that hamstring one, and then we've had a repeat of it. But I think he's a player that probably has. I've not got the stats in front of me.
You want the stats?
Yes.
40 games last year, 45 the year before. So I don't think
40 last year and missed 3 months.
Yeah, 40
that games. Scotland games.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're looking at 95 games probably leading into this season. So I think when you factor that in, it's not a guy as if you're saying you're only getting half a season.
And he plays 90s a lot of the time as well.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's usually very robust over the years. And but listen, he's obviously came to Rangers and he's obviously got a recurrence of that. And the idea is that when you get these big injuries that you do not, you know, you have to maintain it. Maybe it's the amount of games that he played at Rangers with the European fixtures and that as well that's actually caused a recurrence. But well, I think
one thing
you
I thought was interesting, Derek McInnes spoke about potentially being the change from the Astro onto the grass, so having played at Falkirk
possibly. Well, one of the things when I was there with Clermont is that, you know, the surfaces they trained on was a desal pitch, and round the back they had the youth pitch just at the directly behind the building, and they were very loath to go on it because it was a more softer pitch as you're going from one surface to the other. And I used to think to myself, well, you go back to the Nine Arrow days, they were going to every park in Glasgow to try and get a surface.
Car parts, yeah,
pretty much. So, you know, obviously things have changed now.
Going to win tonight, do you think, David? Feeling confident?
Well, you know what I always say, don't you? You're always, I don't really know, but I'm holding out my day when, I mean, that's all I'm looking for. But that wasn't my point. My whole point was, with Shankland too late, we should have brought him 2 or 3 years ago. That's what I'm trying to say here.
All right, well, and that isn't it. A lot of Rangers fans have been saying that, Alex. That's for sure.
Well, listen, we were kind of consulted at the time we were with Big Philippe, and we felt as if there was like another coach, Scottish coach, in there about myself, and we says go and sign him, and it was partly today we the reliability that he scores goals domestically was there for everyone to see. Philippe chose not to go down that avenue, and you know, but I think one of the things is that Big Cyril was kind of struggling at that time as well. For me and the other coach, we felt as if by actually signing him, it would have kind of relieved some of the pressure on Cyril, and maybe Shanks could have got goals. I agree, he should have came a few years ago.
Thank you, David. Celtic fans, listen to this, then give us a call straight away. 0141 951 1025. I don't make wild predictions on this show the way Hugh Keevans would, but I guarantee nobody would have predicted this Celtic starting 11. Andrew.
Yeah, 5 changes Martin O'Neill has made to his team. Some of those enforced, some of them not. The first is in goal. Voyami Sinisalo drops to the bench and Sam Johnston comes in for his debut. So you wonder, is that a view to the weekend? Is he potentially going to be the number one going into that game against Rangers? He certainly got his opportunity tonight. You then look at other players that have dropped to the bench. Benjamin Negrin and Camilo Duran, 2 of the players who are banging form, scoring goals, don't start the game tonight. Yang, of course, drops out as well. He's away to the Asian Games, but this will be a concern for Celtic fans. Cameron Carter-Vickers not only drops out the starting lineup, but drops out the squad altogether. So the 5 that come in, Sam Johnston, Dane Murray, Oliver Sorensen, Kasper Hu, and Sebastian Tenekte. So Sam Johnston in goals, the back 4, Kobe Donovan, Dane Murray, Austin Trusty, and Liam Scales. It's in a midfield 3 of Callum McGregor, Mika Bauer, and Oliver Sorensen, Haseem Hassan, one wing, Sebastian Tenekte, the other, Kasper Hu, is back leading the line after his injury. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Lutomba, Duran, Hu, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Miuka, Vandenberg, Forrest and Tierney.
If you're quick off the mark, Celtic fans, let's squeeze in some calls. What do you make of that team? Give us all your reactions and what you read into it, Tony Watt.
Bizarre. I don't mind it. I said at the start of the show, Sorensen, if he starts tonight, then it would potentially be our view of the weekend. Johnston is Celtic's number one. I think that tells
think so.
Everything. Yeah, I think.
So that's it, decided tonight?
Well, Sinisalo's not really done anything wrong, has he? He conceded a penalty in terms of the only goal that he's conceded in the last two, is it? I think they've identified a number one choice goalkeeper and they've put him in goals. Trusty Scales, Tierney's obviously not fit enough to play. Carter Vickers is a worry, and yeah, the front line probably tells you everything. Tonetki will come out for Duran and Negan will come out for whatever one of the
two. What do you think, Celtic fans? Is this the sign of a permanent, or not permanent, but a kind of overall change in goal, or is this just Sam Johnston getting a game before Fulgami Sinisalo comes back in? Because I think it was at the weekend we spoke about this, Alex, and we asked the question that if he doesn't come in soon, when does he come in? Because sometimes teams have a cup goalkeeper as an example, but Celtic play Rangers in the cup. It's not a day that you would throw a kind of token gesture in there necessarily. He's only just signed. He hasn't played a lot of football. Is that the standout change, or is it the fact that the likes of Duran and Negrin have been moved onto the bench?
I have to say, they two, the previous ones, Duran and Negrin, for me, that's just resting guys. Yeah. So they've got freshness going into the weekend, Gordon. I think it's a different proposition with Johnson. I think they're obviously looking to see what he brings to the table in tonight's game. And if he goes through it unscathed, I would suggest he would most certainly start the weekend. I don't think you can chop and change the keepers like this, getting into an Old Firm game.
You think, we're now getting ahead of ourselves because we don't know that for sure, but you two are predicting it.
Mm-hmm.
Has Sinisalo done enough wrong for this, do you think? I always feel like he's very... He's just right on that line. Like, there's always an argument about, is a player good enough to sort of take you to the next level or be where you want to be? But is he as bad as other people then might make out? Have any of the mistakes been howlers? Is it just that special save that he doesn't have? And he's, what is it about him?
I think he's done fine. I think the last game maybe wasn't his best game, but it was nobody's best game. I think it's more a case of, if Celtic can get the Sam Johnston of 4 or 5 years ago, then that's a goalkeeper they could have for 3 or 4 years, because they've used that one with Joe Hart and Kasper Schmeichel before the injury. So they've got that kind of model that they know the goalkeeper's experienced.
I'd need to look a bit closer at the recent appearances and so on, but just off a kind of gut feeling on top of my head, does he feel like a bit more of a watered down version of that though?
What, in terms of Joe Hart and Kasper Schmeichel?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think at one point he was a £10 million goalkeeper.
So he's not played since March. Yeah. You know, I mean, even availability wise, I think he had a shoulder problem of his own. He wasn't first choice at Wolves last year.
With all due respect to Scottish Premier League, though,
goalie's different.
It is different, and he's a £10 million ex English Premiership goalkeeper, so we're talking about the top level. So if he can come to Scotland, the shoe fit with Joe Hart and it fit with Kasper Schmeichel until the cup final. So
I suppose Joe Hart was well down the, was it the Spurs picking order or something?
Burnley, I think he wasn't even getting a game at Burnley. I think he was Spurs number three. So I think Celtic's a good landing spot. I think they've showed that's tried and tested, that one works. They don't need a young goalkeeper. They've tried it with Barkas. It didn't really work, and I think that's a decent one. But I think Sinisalo would be harshly done by, but Celtic are probably hopeful Sam Johnston.
Celtic fans, what do you make of that team? Sam Johnston in from the start. Kasper, who returns? Duran and Negrin left out. Is that a rest? No sign of Carter Vickers anywhere. Is that a concern? There's a lot to get through there. So please do give us a call, but we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Don't forget, Tony Watt is easily the most enthusiastic pundit we have on the roster, so there is always the chance to burst his bubble if you're that way inclined. The lines close at 7 and you could play Beat the Pundit next.
6 till 8 weeknights. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
Tony Watt is here alongside his Partick Thistle colleague Alex Ray. Two big games tonight, really looking forward to them. And I love it at this stage on a Saturday, easy mistake to make, a Wednesday night midweek, and the teams come in and you've got shocks and surprises and things to react to. Well, we've certainly got that, because Buonanni in from the start for Rangers, so is Kevin Kelsey, but he plays alongside Ryan Nadiri. And I don't think that's as much of a shock as some of the Celtic headlines. Sam Johnston starts in goal. Duran and Negrin rested, if you like, on the bench. So what are you reading into the teams tonight? Let us know and we'll get back to it once we play this.
Beat
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I think it's a good time to play Tony Watt because he's, without being too unfair, you strike me as maybe having concentration difficulties when there's multiple things going on. Would that be a harsh accusation to make?
Potentially harsh, yes, but I can take it on the show.
I can just see that you're being seduced by Barcelona's Pedri attacking performance here, and your eye is not on the ball in here.
See, in 10 years' time, we'll look back at this Barcelona team individually and think they're right up there with everybody in history.
He's not listened to a word you or I have said since 6 o'clock. He's just watching this.
Pedri's mesmerising.
Barcelona 3, Feyenoord 0. Let's bring in Connell, who's on the line. Hi, Connell.
Hello, how's things?
Not bad, how are you?
All good, all good.
First time on Beat the Pundit?
First time, yes.
Good, I like it, I like it. Let's toss the coin and find out if you will take on Tony Watt or Alex Ray. Did you hear you got a wee mention on last night's show?
No.
So a Kilmarnock fan phoned in.
Oh, God.
You know how I always say that the number of Celtic fans that phone in and they go, oh, Tony, you gave me one of the nights of my life, and me and Alex roll our eyes at each other.
Here we go again.
So a Kilmarnock fan phoned in and said, I'm fed up of people saying Tony Watt gave them the best night ever, so I just want to say to Killian Sheridan about the goal he scored for Kilmarnock against Celtic. So it was nice to balance
it
up,
nice,
and stick the boot into you a bit. Yep. Right, Connell, I'll toss the coin. If it's the blue side, it will be Tony Watt of Barcelona fame. The red side, it will be Alex Ray, and it is blue.
Result.
Ready? Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Let's give Tony something else to listen to. Connell, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
Let's go then. 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. Who did Henrik Larsson win the Champions League with?
Barcelona.
Who will referee Sunday's Old Firm game?
Stephen McLean.
John McGinn worked under Neil Lennon and which other Hibs boss?
Pass.
Who does George Hurst play for?
Stoke.
Who won last year's men's Ballon d'Or?
Pass.
Which Dundee club is older?
Dundee FC.
A 2023 match between Jim Goodwin's Aberdeen and Lee Johnson's Hibs was given what nickname?
Pass.
Michael Beale manages in which country?
Belgium.
Okay, let's bring him back. Tony Watt, can you hear
what
us?
What song that was? I don't know the name, but that was unbelievable.
Are you ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Same set of questions, Tony, and your time starts now. Who did Henrik Larsson win the Champions League with?
Barca.
Who will referee Sunday's Old Firm game?
Nick Walsh.
John McGinn worked under Neil Lennon and which other Hibs boss?
Pass.
Who does George Hurst play for?
Stoke.
Who won last year's men's Ballon d'Or?
Usman Dembele.
Which Dundee club is older?
Dundee.
A 2023 match between Jim Goodwin's Aberdeen and Lee Johnson's Hibs was given which nickname?
El Shakiko.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Connell, what's the verdict? You've heard the competition.
I think he done me with a referee one for something.
Okay, let's go through them and find out. Connell actually said his answer with so much conviction as well, but it was just a very good... just getting his answer out there quickly and moving on. Barcelona have just had more mentions in the last two minutes of the show than ever before, because we're watching them on the telly. I stupidly referenced that moment that Tony Watt had. You might have heard of it. And they were the answer to the first question, of course. Henrik Larsson won the Champions League with Barcelona against Arsenal 2006. You both got it. Who will referee Sunday's Old Firm? Connell said Stephen McLean straight away, and he was so confident I wondered if we had got it wrong. But it is Nick Walsh. And Tony Watt gets it.
We had him at the weekend, no?
Yeah, we had him at the weekend.
That's the only reason I said him.
Were you happy with his performance?
I thought he was absolutely outstanding. Clearly, that's why he's got the Old Firm game.
Yeah. Was it the weekend? Did you get booked at the weekend, no?
No, it was the weekend before. That was amazing. That was the face the referee pulled when he booked him was amazing.
What was it for again?
Laughing.
That's right, so it was.
The face.
I just laughed at the decision.
He went like to Al.
This was last week. Someone told me that you got booked for laughing at the referee. Yeah. A man of your age. Honestly, when are you going to calm down?
What, laughing?
That's a good point, right? Okay, Nick Boggs, moving on. John McGinn worked under Neil Lennon and which other Hibs boss? I'm surprised at you, Tony Watt. Cup winning manager.
Yeah, great.
Alan Stubbs. No, he's a player.
I actually had Stubbs.
None of you got it, so it's 2-1 still to Tony Watt. Connell, you're not bad because you remembered that George Hurst plays for Stoke. He's moved from Ipswich this summer. Incidentally, did you see Scotland's new coaching staff, the backroom team for Sebastian Pocagnoli? Got interesting, because I think people maybe wondered if Stephen Naismith would be the one that stayed and got the continuity, but he's gone to the 21s. Alan Irvine remains.
Did you see why?
Chris Woods, what do you mean?
Alan Irvine signed him when he was a manager at West Brom.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
Perfect link there. Chris Woods stays as a goalkeeping coach. It's Luke Benstead, isn't it? The coach that's been, he's kind of the set piece one, I think, he's been working over in Turkey.
I think he was also Man United as well, Everton Manu, wasn't it? Yeah, I had a wee look.
Are these things, we sort of make a lot of these from the outside, is it actually the only person that really matters is
Gaffer?
Yeah, as long as he can work with them and wants them. And
these guys will be important for him.
That's what I'm saying though. Like, it's easy for us on the outside to say, oh, I would have had this guy as a coach or that guy as a coach, but really you need the manager.
But Alan Irvine's got a wealth of experience, and then you look at Big Woodsy as well, who, you know, has been round it for a while. So there is a continuity there, and you've obviously got the two, and then the manager will dictate everything. I'm really fascinated to see what this guy's going to bring to the table.
He spoke at the summit on Friday. He was really good. He was impressive. Yeah. It was kind of off the cuff stuff. He kind of took the mic at one point and gave a little impromptu speech at the end when he wasn't sort of planned, and he was good. Alan Irvine, by the way, my big takeaway from Alan Irvine at the World Cup, 68. He's a machine.
What's he in the gym? He's ripped,
68. Yeah, anyway,
good guy,
I don't know if that helps us in any way, but just throw it in there. Last year's men's Ballon d'Or. Connell, I feel for you, because Tony Watt's the sort of saddo that likes stuff like this, worrying about who's going to win the Ballon d'Or.
I thought he passed it.
No, I went.
He passed it.
I did.
Yeah, First answer.
I went Pearl and Dembele. Look, it's up to you if you
Which Dundee club is older? Dundee, you both got it. A 2023 match between Jim Goodwin's Aberdeen, Lee Johnson's Hibs was dubbed El Sakiko. So Tony Watt got it as well. Well done. Connell was quite fast though. He got on to the next question, which is that Michael Beale manages in
Belgium.
He's flying as well, isn't he? Well,
his celebration.
He needs to work in his celebration. Have you seen it?
That's the worst thing I've ever seen. Ever.
Why is it so bad though?
Because he's got a bottle under his other arm.
So he's trying to do the kind of, it's the old sort of Ronnie Roar type fist bump.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But with his wrong hand. It's not great, is it? Will you stop looking at the sheet? You've won.
Have I won?
Calm down. I think it was 5-4.
Should have been 6, but hey.
Is that even if we take the Dembele off him? I think it is. I think.
No, we'd give you the Dembele. We're being harsh now.
Yeah. Tell you what,
I'd have been sad.
It was not bad, Connell. Listen, that was a good performance. You got 4 on the board, but Tony Watts pipped you to it. Hard lines.
Oh, thank you.
Are you a Celtic fan, Connell?
Yes, I am indeed.
What do you make of that team tonight? You surprised at some of the changes?
Yeah, and I wouldn't read too much into the Carter Vickers one. I think they're maybe managing his load. He's had a heavy August for a man who missed 8 months of football, so I think they're maybe managing his load instead of anything.
I think that is probably the case.
Yeah, possibly. Listen, they normally would have him on the bench if, you know, just to be there, because I think he's such an influential character. We're led to believe he's one of the key leaders in there, along with Callum McGregor. So even to have him round about it, Gordon, so to not be the squad, but as Connell says, it may well be, right, just come off your legs. They've got a big game, a double header, really. So maybe that is the case.
Connell, is the change in goal tonight a sign of things to come, or is this just a one-off at giving Sam Johnson the game tonight?
No, I think it'll be a sign of things to come. Well, all depends on how he plays tonight.
Oh, that's true. I mean, there is still scope to chuck 3 in and then he doesn't play at the weekend. But so you're all on the same
page
here. You, Connell, Tony, you think this is it?
This is a handover. Yeah, it looks that way, Gordon. The thing is, you're bringing a guy in who has got decent pedigree, and I think when you look at the previous couple who have been in there, then that would suggest that they're going down this similar route. And this guy, he has to get in at some point. You know, he's obviously been in the building a couple of weeks now, and this is an opportunity for him to showcase. Has he got a wealth of experience? I think it'll be okay.
It's just quite interesting, Tony, about how sort of late that move was made as well. I'm not saying that takes anything away from Sam Johnson as an individual, but just Kasper Schmeichel retired in March. Celtic had right to the final day of their UEFA registration and went for Sam Johnson. You know, it does put him behind a little bit in terms of if he's pitched in tonight, to then we said he hasn't played any football since March, then presumably going to play against Rangers. You do wonder why moves like this just can't happen earlier. Am I being too simplistic about
it? No, I think a telltale sign that Sinisalo was earmarked to be number one was he changed to the number one jersey, I'm sure, during the summer. So you probably thought that Celtic were going to go for a backup and then changed their mind and probably wanted two number ones if Sinisalo was seen as a number one. Now, like I said earlier, a £10 million ex-Premier League goalkeeper. I think he's an England international, if I'm correct in saying. So I think Celtic have got a model, and I don't think the goalkeeper's really in that, in terms of they've been scarred once or twice when they've tried to buy a goalkeeper to sell on for profit. So I think they probably just want an experienced, steady set of hands, somebody who they can maybe look at for 3 or 4 years. And I think Sam Johnson, if all going well, fits in that mold.
I think one of the things, if you look back at, just had a look at some of his stats there, I think over the last couple of years, it's something along the lines of 25 games in total. You know, it's not a lot of games, so it'd be important to try and get him up to speed.
Yeah. Connell said it earlier in the show, I do love it when weeks like this come about and totally blow open this notion that teams take it one game at a time. There's surely no doubt that Negrin and Duran being on the bench tonight is because of who you play at the weekend.
No, I agree with you. I think Tony said at the start, I was listening, I think Duran will come in for Tanecki, and I think that possibly could be the midfield three on Sunday. The midfield is 10 tonight, and obviously you would like to think Tierney would come in and Donovan will stay there. So it could be a very similar team with maybe just Duran coming in, Negrin. I think he could go for that midfield three that he's playing tonight.
That's a good point. That's a good point, actually, because I feel like the headlines were Johnson, Duran not being in the team, but you spoke about the midfield earlier, Tony, in terms of what clues might be out there tonight.
Yeah, I just felt like if I seen Sorensen's name on the team sheet, it's basically saying, look, go earn your position for the weekend. I think I totally agree with Connell, except from the Negrin one. I think Negrin is one of the first names in the team sheet.
Oh, yeah,
I think,
of course, yeah, I'm forgetting him. Yeah,
I think it's McGregor and who will work the best with him.
We had some callers sort of taking Negrin out of Celtic's strong best 11 last
season. No.
See, last season I can understand that because his all-round play wasn't as good.
But the goals, though.
No, that's what I mean. So the goals, but see, this year his all-round play has been miles better. He's found a great partnership with Ho, and I think what he's brought to Celtic, minus that mad 1 minute in Lask, has been just below Duran's standards. I don't think MD's matched his level, but Negrin's been really close to it this season.
So none of this is too risky for you tonight, Connell. You think this? You still come through this tonight?
Yeah, I like it. I like the chance to give a few players a rest, because you forget it was as well next week, the European game on Thursday night. So there's three big games within the next 10 days. So
that's a good point. Connell's on the ball with these things, because it's something that we'll get to, Alex, I'm sure, but it's not what you want. This is not a good thing, but Rangers don't have to do that this
absolutely
season.
Absolutely, yeah. No, listen.
So if last season's top three, Rangers are the ones, again, that's not a good thing. It's a failure at the time. But domestically, they don't have to worry about the same amount, the same load, as you would call it nowadays.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And it's not just that. We've often said this on the show about coming back from a European trip. Mentally, it's more taxing due to the opposition. And you have to contend with that. But we've said in the last couple of weeks, that's one of the reasons why I thought Celtic should get their business done a lot quicker, get people in the building, get them match sharp as well. And obviously they brought in all the players the day of the window closing. So I just felt as if, you know, to get a bigger squad, a bigger depth, and I thought Celtic were lacking that up until they brought a few in.
Thank you very much to Connell for giving us his thoughts there after playing Beat the Pundit. Let's go back to Perth, because we didn't get the St Johnson team. It wasn't out when we last visited Andrew McLean. So let's find out how they're lining up tonight. And then a reminder, in case you're just joining us, Celtic fans, you've missed quite a bit in terms of team news there. Andrew?
Yeah, for the hosts, it's four changes. Smith, Mitchell, Stanton and Gullen drop out of the starting lineup. Finlayson, Smith, Todd and Campbell come in. So Toby Sheward continuing in goal for St Johnston. The back four, Matty Todd, Daniel Finlayson, Cech Diabate and Ennis Alich. The midfield three, Rhys McAleer, Jason Holt and Joe Cotterill, with Taylor Stephen and Josh Campbell supporting Josh Fowler up top, who has four goals in four league games this season. The substitutes, Sinclair, Boyes, Stanton, Foles, Fotheringham, Schmidt, Tate, Smith and Payton. And that interesting Celtic team news that you were mentioning, Voyami Sinisalo drops out, he is on the bench. Sam Johnston comes in for his debut. Benjamin Negrin and Camilo Duran also dropping to the bench. Yang is away to the Asian game, so doesn't play. And Cameron Carter-Vickers out the squad altogether. Is he being managed ahead of the weekend, or is that a fresh injury concern? So the five that come in, Johnson, Murray, Sorensen, Hu and Tonechty. So it's Sam Johnston in goal. The back four, Kobe Donovan, Dane Murray, Austin Trusty and Liam Scales. Scholes, the midfield three, Callum McGregor, Mika Bauer and Oliver Sorensen, Haseem Hassan and Sebastian Tenekte either side of Kasper Hu, who is straight back in after his injury. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Lutomba, Duran, Negrin, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Miuka, Vandenberg, Forrest and Tierney. The referee for this one is Matthew McDermott and the VAR is Grant Irvin.
Now let's hear from Martin O'Neill then as we build up to kick off in Perth.
Yeah, I saw them opening day of the season, thought they played very well against Kilmarnock, and watched the game against Hibs as well too. So, yeah, good, really, really, really talented, young managers doing well. And just on that point, you know, it's nice to see them. They want to play football as well. They've got, and they're committed, they want to. And there's a vitality about them, which is very, very encouraging. Not dissimilar in many aspects to what Craig McLeish is doing at St Mirren. Really good job. And it's nice to see young managers of that there, you know, courage of their convictions, going to go and play, want to do it, and almost fearlessly at it, which is great.
0141 951 1025, that's the number that you need. So get in touch. I'd like to hear from you, Rangers and St Mirren fans, as well as we continue the build up to that one. We'll speak to you next.
It's game on until 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Get in touch, let us know what you're thinking. Some interesting team news from both the big games tonight. St Mirren fans, I'm still on the lookout for you to get in touch. Let's give you to the full-time teaser first though.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, it's a good one this, I have to say. Thank you to our sponsors, Arcaplan Glasgow, and thanks to Bruce in Bothwell for sending this in. Neighbour of Tony Watts, yeah, perhaps. Right, can you name the last 8 Scottish Premiership managers who have won the top flight in Scotland? So in terms of the order, it's the last 8 to have managed in the league, and they've also won it at some point in their careers as a player.
What?
Sorry, just the last 8 Scottish Premiership managers who've also won the top flight in Scotland as a player.
Right, okay, McInnes. Sorry.
Derek McInnes, yes, won 4 titles with Rangers and currently manages.
So don't need to win it as a manager.
No,
just
no.
Lennon. No top flight, no. Right, okay.
They are so no. So all.
Yeah,
all more recently than him.
Yeah, I get it now.
In terms of managing in the top flight.
Try to go through all the managers.
He would be 9th. He's just out with.
Try to go through all the managers. Matt Walsh? No. He's Championship.
Mm-hmm. Steady, stop trying to be curry favour with the manager.
I'm trying my best to get a game. Al's not doing it for me right here. I need to stop.
McCann.
Yes, Neil McCann.
Great shout.
Present
shout.
Kilmarnock manager, and of course won 3 titles with Rangers.
When was Neil Lennon last in the top flight?
In 2021. So you've given me a wee clue there. They're all since then.
I had a name in my head. Just know it though. Kenny Miller.
No.
Just
no,
before,
no.
Innit?
Right, take one more guess then. No. Okay, no. We can leave it there. So we're looking for the last 8 Scottish Premiership managers.
Van Bronckhorst.
Oh, yes. You've sneaked in another one. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Okay, let's leave it there and we can get back to it. Bruce and Bothwell, thank you for the question. It's fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to hear your question used. Let's just quickly go back to Andrew McLean. Andrew, has been somewhat of an update from Celtic on the status of Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Yeah, Martin O'Neill has done his pre-match media interview duties. He's done an interview with the BBC where he's revealed that Cameron Carter-Vickers is just being rested for this game. There's not an injury, there's not a big concern there. He was just saying the fact that he's played every single game this season, started every single game this season, and they've got a busy schedule coming up, that he felt that this was maybe the right game for him to sit out and would expect him to come straight back in for the weekend's trip to Ibrox.
Yeah, I think it was Connell who threw it up earlier on, and it made total sense due to the fact that he'd been out for such a long time. So, got a big schedule coming up, 2 firm games and a European tie.
Any concerns generally, Tony, about that and about if, you know, Celtic decided not to sign another central defender, because numerically they do have the four, but now Scales is now operating as a left back tonight, having to manage Carter Vickers at this stage in the season. Is there anything that would worry you there?
Yeah, I think that would be the key word. If they've had to do it tonight due to overload, then that's a worry. I think maybe, and I'm hopeful that it's just that they've took today as an isolation and thought, two big games against Rangers, it's going to be a lot of minutes, potentially goes
Europe
to 100
in between.
Yeah, potentially goes to 120 minutes as well with the cup. Now's probably the time to rest them because they need a good start in Europe as well. So I would have liked to seen a right centre back in the building, but Dane Murray tonight can come in and show why he is the deputy at this moment.
Yeah, because I feel like Dane Murray, Alex, he's not that young, so it's probably time to try and get a bit of a run. And do you have a bit of sympathy for him in the sense that he's, any chance he gets, it seems to be always like pitched into some sort of emergency situation, yeah. You know, because he is the right-sided one, so he's Carter Vickers' deputy. So yeah. Carter Vickers generally plays. I feel like every time you see Dane Murray, remember last season, did he not like come out of nowhere and then had to start the game at Tynecastle,
right,
which was Stars, like a,
yeah.
which was a,
don't
like
give away their own goal,
a top
something.
Of the table yeah. clash. You know, he's pitched in Lask when the defence is kind of all over the place.
Yeah, you have to feel for him in that situation, but these opportunities don't present themselves, Gordon. So you really have to showcase what you can do. Basically, tell Martin O'Neill that you are able. Capable if Carter Vickers is not there, because listen, the fact that Tony's actually mentioned they need another right centre back, you know, there'll still be a debate in there whether Dane Murray's going to be the guy that actually cements that position.
Charlie's on the line. Hi Charlie.
Hi guys, how's doing, Gordon?
Good.
Alex, Tony, how's doing?
Good.
Well, I'd like to ask about hype. First off, by the way, Dane Murray's sound. I like the big man. I think he's got speed, he's got physicality, and there'll be a lot better to come for him in a Celtic shirt. No fears about Dane Murray. I like him. My question really was, guys, I wanted to ask about kind of hypothetical situation. It's hypothetical in the fact that it's in the future. So, talking about football fans and what the event means. So, say we go to Ibrox, Celtic go to Ibrox next week. It's a cup game, right? I genuinely feel this could go either way. Either fan could ask us. I'm just hypothetically, we could go there next week as the away fans with nay support. We run riot against Rangers in the first half, and I think it can happen because I think Scott. If you can finish off, please, Gordon, if you'll let me finish. Celtic have got a strong front line. They've got a really strong front line, and I think they're going to do damage to somebody during the season, whether it be Rangers next week or somebody later on. Celtic will do damage. What happens if it empties the stadium? If they'll go for their ballrooms at half time and then go up the road, and then we're left with nothing in the atmosphere, what does that say for Scottish football? Where's the atmosphere there, Gordon? What's it doing for us? It's not a spectacle anymore. There should be cheers and jeers at football. You know what I mean? Coming for both sets, and it's not going to happen if Celtic, by the way, they'll do it. Celtic will run riot against Rangers next week.
Maybe they will, maybe they won't. I've no idea. What I would say, though, in that, Alex, is I don't think, I appreciate Charlie's hypothetical, but I think you can still find issue with the no away fans without having to assess whether it's with Celtic 4-0 up or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we all know that the potential damage that does to the fixture as a spectacle.
Oh, listen, I think most folk would want more people into the ground, Gordon. And I think obviously the events recently have resulted in only 300 tickets. So it's not ideal at all. I think as a spectacle, you want a lot of travelling fans because it brings that added value. But I'm not sure we're going to get there anytime soon. However, Charlie's point there about, you know, what happens if Rangers are 3 or 4 up, you know, so you can flip it whatever way you want. The idea
in fairness, as much as I love to pick holes in mad hypotheticals, in fairness, I think Charlie's talking about as the away team, as the one with no fans.
Yeah.
Could you be left in a scenario where there's nobody left really, and it's just a kind of, you know what I mean, it's the game's
done
petering
and dusted.
Out. The only thing you would say, if we get on board with Charlie's hypothetical, see if that in this fixture of all fixtures, see if you're the home team and you're getting a doing and there's no away fans, are you not staying around to give your own players a piece of your mind at full time anyway?
Yeah, possibly. No, listen, the thing is, it's like modern day fans. Was it last week we seen some of the Hibs fans? Was it leaving early doors as well? Partly because they were going to do them, but
oh, the Hearts game, yeah, it was. I think it was.
Yeah, so you see that with modern day fans, whether you know, for me, you want to try and stay as long as you possibly can, if not until the 90 minutes.
I don't think it's like the full stadium empties though. I think it's like maybe 10-20%. So I think regardless, you'll get an atmosphere whether it's cheering or booing. I think, especially like the ultras side, if Rangers were getting beat 3-4-0, the ultras would stay and give them a hard time. So look, sometimes silence in a stadium is good as well for the atmosphere, in terms that you can see that the away team's doing really well. And yeah, it is what it is, isn't it? It's Celtic and Rangers have now came to a conclusion. We spoke about it. The word I used was childish, and I stand by it. There should be a number. Celtic and Rangers shouldn't be able to decide, because what is it, when you let the inmates run the asylum, that's when you get problems.
Oofed. Pulling no punches tonight, you know, ticket fiasco. Charlie, I'm more interested in your prediction. Though, you think, regardless of what happens tonight, you've seen enough, you think Celtic go there and win very comfortably at the weekend?
I think Celtic will win comfortably at the weekend, yes. I'm on board. Celtic would have won. I think they're going to move Gerrard out to the left. Celtic would have won more comfortably maybe at the weekend if Yang had been here. And I know there's been talk beforehand about the Yang club, the Yang gang. I've clicked like and subscribe as far as Yang is concerned.
Hold on though, let me get this straight, because you think Celtic could be 3 or 4 up. So would it be more than that if Yang was playing?
You never know. That's how it's a strong forward line, Gordon. I'm not joking. It's a strong forward line against a bad Rangers line. You know what I mean? The freak result can happen. You know, it can happen. Celtic's going to give somebody a doing this season. At some point, somebody in that league's going to do.
I'm not saying it can't happen. Why? What would be the point in that? And then I just looked after. What I'm saying is, though, Alex, I just love how it was already quite a bold statement to say Rangers, Celtic would be 3 or 4 up, Ibrox will empty, and he's saying I think they'd win more comfortably if Yang was there. Playing.
No, listen, I think Charlie's a fan of Yang, obviously, but Rangers have only conceded one more goal in the league as well, right. so it's not as if they've conceded a barrel load.
I know
the
they've had their moments,
yeah,
but I wonder about individually if the Rangers back four, what's the phrase I'm looking, I wonder if the ceiling's actually okay for that back four, because everybody's been giving Penrice a lot of credit.
Yep.
For all the criticism about Rangers' recruitment, I've not seen anyone pick fault in Macania. Now, Fernandez has had his moments this season.
Absolutely.
For sure. Very lax, very, you know, far too relaxed at times, yeah, giving the ball away. But again, you still sort of know there's a level in there because of his attributes. Is the Rangers back four, yep, actually one of the more reliable parts of the team,
I think Dujon Sterling's starting to kind of nestle down in that right back berth. I think one of the key things for Sterling is that he's been shipped here, there and everywhere and playing different positions. So now that he's there, if he can get a sustained run of games, Dujon, then I feel as if he can actually make a real good contribution, because he's a really good defender, one-to-one defender. He's got pace, power, and he likes to get forward. So no, obviously Charlie's come on there very optimistic at what the weekend's going to look like. I think for everybody concerned, I think they'll look at tonight, Gordon, because obviously you want to try and go into that game at the weekend on the back of another good victory.
I might be putting words in Charlie's mouth, but I just love the fact that it could be 3 or 4-0, but presumably the way arithmetic works, it would be 5 or 6 if Yang was playing.
Yeah, I think Yang has really came to the fore. I think his biggest problem at Celtic has been the players around him have been bought in for bigger money. He maybe never hit the ground running, but I actually think Yang, an old saying I got told years ago, you can't have a bad game running, in terms of if you work hard, you will play well. And I think Yang epitomises that. I think he's quality. I think he maybe lacked numbers last season or the year before, but I think he works so hard. He helps Celtic get up the park and recover the ball high up. And I think this season he's really come into his own.
Thank you to Charlie. We'll find out if Charlie's hypothetical comes to pass or not at the weekend. It's 01419511025 to join on the phones tonight, just as we build up to kick off at Ibrox as well. Let's touch on St Mirren, Alex. They've been pretty good. They've been really good, in fact, at times. I think they were hurting a bit from, and maybe learn lessons from, the 5-1 defeat at Ibrox, because they've been better than that. And
absolutely,
it actually came at a time when people were wondering if Rangers, you know, were on the ropes a bit. So I think they'll be different this evening.
Listen, one thing is that they can go into this game with a bit of confidence, Gordon. I think they can take that, especially for the game against Celtic. They were very much in the game, showed a style of football I think most St Mirren fans will be enjoying as well. They try and play through the line, they try and suck you in. I was impressed with the boy off the left hand side. I thought he was really good, the lad from Arsenal. So, you know, they need to be mindful of him tonight. But I don't mean this. I think teams like St Mirren can go into this as a free hit, really. I don't think their fans are really over expecting, but because they're punching so well this season, 10 points so soon is a real bonus for Craig McLeish and the players.
I appreciate this is nothing new. We've been used to this for a while, but I feel like if you've got a chance of going to Ibrox and getting something, and you've been doing so well, how big a blow is it to not have Paul Insio against his parent club?
He's been brilliant.
That's obviously the problem when you sign players from Rangers, but I think they'll know that minimum 35 games they can have out him, and there'll be three games minimum that he doesn't play for if you get into the top six. I think they'll be well equipped without him, but he has done excellent. Last year when he went on loan to Rafe, he done really well. They tried to get him back, but he's probably stepped up to the Premiership level as well as anybody.
Like I said, that's not a new challenge. I remember last year, Motherwell were going so well, Stephen Welsh, and then he couldn't play the Celtic games. They actually, funnily enough, coped fine without him and put in a really good performance, particularly the win at Fir Park. But there's just something about Insio's profile, the legs, the way he covers the ground, how vital he's been in that department. And I think when you got away to Ibrox, those are the exact sort of skills, I'm sure, that Craig McLeish would have wanted to use.
Yeah, absolutely. Gordon, we identified him at the tail end of last season as well at Partick Thistle, and there's the profile. The second part of the season, as Tony said, I thought he was excellent. And it's really interesting because you're trying to figure out what level can he then bounce up and how well he does. I thought he was excellent the weekend. He started his St Mirren stint very well.
Kick off at Ibrox is next.
Taking your calls 7 days a week. Weeknights, Saturdays and Sundays 4-7. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kickoff just seconds away at Ibrox, as you can hear. So let's recap the scene setter with Gabriel.
Yes, Gordon, the two teams just shaking hands in the middle of the park at the moment. A massive chance for Rangers to move up to second in the league and go into the double header against Celtic on the back of four wins in a row. These two, of course, met last month in the League Cup. A 5-1 win for Rangers. They want more of the same today, but expect the visitors, positive and progressive football, to pose a serious threat. Go through the teams again. It's three changes for Rangers, including debuts for new boys Kevin Kelsey and Badreddin Bouanani. So it'll be Pandor in goal, a back four of Sterling, Fernandez, Macania and Penrice. Raskin and Neil will be in the middle of the park with Bouanani and Gassama out wide. Nadiri and Kelsey play as two forwards. Just one change for St Mirren. Chapman in goal, Ramsey, Jackson, Fieldson and John as the back four. It'll be Carr, Taylor, Cabia, Mokri and Gogic across the middle. Agrifiotis up top. A huge game for Rangers. Playing in their home strip tonight, Gordon. Alex Gogic, the St Mirren captain, just running to talk to his teammates now. St Mirren in their gold and black strip. Captain Dan Neil is just getting the ball in the centre circle as he applauds the Ibrox crowd, filling out just before kickoff. And we will get underway in a few moments' time.
And then you two give me a match prediction for that one, since it kicks off first.
2-0 Rangers.
I was just about to say that.
No, I know
you. I'll go 3-1. I think St Mirren are decent.
It was interesting. Right, so we spoke about St Mirren being good this season. They're playing a different way and it's a lot more expansive. Lost the game 5-1. Motherwell again, praise for their style of play. Is there something maybe that this is actually more suitable to Rangers? Is that maybe you know, catching these teams on the break? Because I mean, they could have scored all sorts against Motherwell, and that's why it's never black and white. Maybe the difference with Motherwell last year is they played that way, but really, really well. You know, like it's not like an on-off switch of expansive or not. Like, Motherwell's defence was best in the league, so it's not like it was all about taking all these mad chances.
I think Motherwell's recovery as well was one of the best in Europe last year. So, you know, it's about getting the balance right.
So right now this season, is there maybe something in a game like tonight, a game like the one at the weekend, if St Mirren are good at it, but they're not perfect at it, if Motherwell have come off it a bit, are these maybe the types of games that suit Rangers?
Yeah, it gives you that transitional moments, Gordon, and that's one of the reasons why I would say about guys like Minsoo and the likes, because what you want is a quick transition. You don't want to be laboured on the ball, and the quicker you can take it to the defence, then the better it will be. So listen, they created a lot of chances at the weekend, Rangers. I think one of the key things was that their conversion rate was really poor, not clinical enough. But I think one of the key things from the earlier exchanges for Derek McInnes' team was that they were not creating enough chances. So they're now doing that now. It's just about capitalising when the game moments present themselves.
Yeah, totally agree. I think when Rangers are asked to build up, I don't think they're quite like the Jens team of last year. I know we're comparing Rangers to Motherwell, but that's what we're talking about, a build-up team. And I think Rangers are better when they let the other team try and play, fill the gaps, win the ball back, fight, get forward, good transitions, and they'll start adding goals to it. So I think Rangers are more of a robust, direct team rather than a build-up possession team, so they won't really be bothered about the other team having a lot of the ball.
Okay, let's go back to the teaser as well. We'll revisit Perth, because remember that's a 15-minute behind that kickoff. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff in Perth. We're underway at Ibrox, so keep you up to speed on anything that happens there in the opening stages. But Andrew McLean, we'll go back to him in the not too distant future. What about your teaser this evening? We were looking for the last 8 Scottish Premiership managers who have won the top flight as a player. So you were doing pretty well before the break. You got Neil McCann, Derek McInnes, and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Elvis.
Stephen Presley, yes. Well done.
Barry Robson.
Yes.
Gone big and just full of flood on where happened with him.
Malky McKay.
You're absolutely flying.
I've got one more. The other ones trumped me. I thought I had all of them. Barry Ferguson?
No.
What?
Now it must be I guess permanent. Oh my, I'd imagine. Yeah.
Can you see the word permanent up there?
That's true. It doesn't say permanent, but nah. I'm not giving you.
There's two I can't get.
I'm not giving you.
You'll need to come back to me for the next two.
That's fine. That is fine indeed. Let's go back to McDermott Park as well and check in with Andrew McLean. Andrew, going to be interesting to see how this kind of new look Celtic team stacks up. And then also St Johnstone, we've just had a similar conversation about St Mirren. When that works for them, it works and it's good and it allows them to beat the other teams sort of round about them, if you like. But how does that translate to playing one of the better teams in the league?
Yeah, you know, Simo Vallecari won't change his style for this game. He'll want to play some football as he did in the Championship. It was really successful. It's worked so far this season. They've got 7 points from those opening 5 matches. They sit in 7th place, so he's going to stay true to that style. But as you say, sometimes it can work against the teams around you, but when you come up against the big teams, sometimes you are susceptible trying to play out from the back. You know, when it is just against players that are a level above, it can cause real problems at the back. So St Johnstone are going to have to be concentrated. They're going to have to make the right decisions at the right times, and they may have to mix it up at times. They may have to go long if Celtic get their press right and are causing them some real issues. As for the Celtic team, a lot of it could be a bit of an addition ahead of the weekend. Sam Johnson, as we mentioned, is this him in for the foreseeable? If he has a good game, is he Celtic's undisputed number one? He'll certainly feel, if he goes out and has a good game, keeps a clean sheet, makes a few saves, that he could well be between the sticks at Ibrox this weekend. Oliver Sorensen is another player who'll be looking to impress Sebastian Tenekte. And Kasper Hu as well, this is some valuable minutes for him. We saw what he could do, especially when he got that hat-trick earlier on in the season. He hasn't managed to replicate that in the other games, but he's had that injury. He'll want to go out, see if he can get himself a goal and get himself into good form ahead of the weekend. Martin O'Neill had said in his press yesterday that facing Rangers this weekend wasn't in his mind at all heading into that match, but you've got to think the exclusion of Cameron Carter-Vickers from his squad really, you know, does suggest otherwise. So we'll see exactly how that plays out over the next few days. I'll just recap those teams before they make their way out the tunnel. 4 changes for St Johnstone: Smith, Mitchell, Stanton and Gullen drop out. Finlayson, Smith, Todd and Campbell come in. So Toby Stewart in goal, the back four: Matty Todd, Daniel Finlayson, Cech Diabate and Ennis Alich. Rhys McAleer, Jason Holt and Joel Cotterill are the midfield three, with Taylor Stephen and Josh Campbell supporting the inform Josh Fowler. The substitutes: Sinclair, Boyes, Stanton, Folds, Fotheringham, Schmidt, Tate, Smith and Payton for Celtic. Those 5 changes, as I mentioned: Sinisalo, Negrin, Duran, Yang and Cameron Carter-Vickers. are out. In come Johnson, Murray, Sonnenson, Hu and Tenekte. So Sam Johnson in goal, the back four, Colby Donovan, Dane Murray, Austin Trusty and Liam Scales. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Mika Bauer and Oliver Sorensen, with Haseem Hassan and Sebastian Tenekte either side of Casper Hu. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Latomba, Duran, Negrin, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Miyuka, Vandenberg, Forrest and Tierney. The referee for this one in Perth is Matthew McDermott and the VAR is Grant Irvin.
Big chance for Rangers early on, saved by the foot of Jacob Chapman. This is going to have to be so quick. I don't know if you two will get the chance to respond, but let's let Declan from Springburn make his point. Declan, take it away.
Hiya, I just wanted to say, obviously, with the game on Sunday with regards to the tickets and stuff, I don't think it comes down to the fans. I think it's down to the players and the team to step up and take control of the game and really show what we're made of. Obviously, it is a bit daunting to go to Ibrox with 50,000 in our fans, but at the end of the day, if we play our football, I think we can walk out victorious.
And do you think you will, Declan? What do you make of the sort of team tonight, the guys that are coming back in, some of the decisions that need to be made around various players?
I think Casper Hall really needs to start scoring the goals. Ultimately, I don't think he's performed at the level I did want to expect. He's missing too many clear-cut chances.
That fair, Tony? You've got a bit of time to respond quickly. Is he missing clear-cut chances? I know he did in his first game against Dundee.
I think he's done okay. I think a striker will be judged over a 10-game period rather than a 2-3-game period. I think he showed, when he scored the hat-trick, was it Kilmarnock, that he can score goals. I think the service to him hasn't been amazing, and I think the first game he even said that he looked a bit rusty. I think I'll leave judging him at the moment. I think it's maybe a wee bit harsh, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much to Declan. As you can hear, the music's playing. We're looking for the last eight Scottish Premiership managers who've won the top flight as a player. You've got Neil McCann, Stephen Presley, Derek McInnes, Barry Robson, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and Malky Mackay.
Sean Maloney.
Nope.
What? What?
He was convinced that was it.
I played against Sean Maloney when he was a Hibs manager and I was at Dundee United. That was after 2022.
Hearts.
What?
Hearts. Yeah. Why is Maloney not in that list?
Robbie Nielsen?
Oh no, because he's still too far ago. He is. It's too long ago. Nope, Hearts more recently. He's a Scotland Under-21's assistant manager.
Naismith.
Stephen Naismith. I think, I don't know, maybe a steward's inquiry. Did he get a medal for this? He can't have played a lot. But the other one is goes down as he was at Rangers when he was young, and he's a former St Johnstone manager. I would not have considered this a league winner, but maybe I'm being harsh on him and he's going to phone me up. Yep.
Right, okay.
Is there enough appearances? Does that, is that count?
Somewhere?
In the squad, I guess. And that's you.
Brilliant.
Nice. There we go.
Nice.
Okay. 0-0 at Ibrox. We are 5 minutes away from kickoff in Perth. Whatever happens, we'll reflect on it all tomorrow at 6. Be here. We will speak to you then. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.